If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We have a special guest for this half hour, Arianna Huffington, author of Thrive, as well as a lot of other successes that she may not even call successes now anymore, although clearly everyone else would call them. Arianna says we need a third metric for success. Arianna, all of us have, and if I can call you Arianna, I don't know what else to call you. It is the metrics for success are always money and power, and you say we need a new metric, and I want to know how we grade that new metric and how we talk about success in that new world.
Well, first of all, if I can call you Dr. Mike,
absolutely.
I'm delighted to be on your show. I just love what you are doing and how many millions of people you are helping, including me. My sort of wake-up call that led me to this realization that we needed a third metric of success came 8 years ago when I collapsed from exhaustion, sleep deprivation, and burnout, and broke my cheekbone on the way down and cut 4 stitches on my eye. And that was kind of the beginning of my looking at the fact that both I and millions of people around the world are living under the collective delusion that burnout is a necessary price for success. And that success is defined in these very, very narrow terms of money and power. So I felt that the first thing we had to do was redefine what success was and include these 4 pillars that I have of the third metric, the first one being well-being, because I know, of course, you would agree that if we sacrifice our health on the altar of success conventionally defined, nothing is worth it. And yet 75% of healthcare costs, 75% of diseases are stress-related, preventable. You know, 25%, let's say, there's nothing we can do about, but that's an enormous amount that we can control once we redefine what success is and get away from the delusion that burnout is the only way to achieve it.
Now, many people would say, well, even if I sacrifice now, I get the benefits of that money and power later. How do you answer that? Or how does one approach that to say, well, that burnout is the natural result of the seeking of money and power?
Well, first of all, you know, there's nothing wrong with money and power. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that that they're even by themselves, they don't bring happiness, and by themselves, they don't bring what I call in the book thriving, as opposed to simply surviving and succeeding in the conventional sense. But also, I feel it's really important to look at all the new science that you so often write about that makes it clear that in fact sleep, meditation, renewal practices, napping make us better at what they are doing. So contrary to the delusion that that they make us less effective, they make us more effective. And athletes are ahead of the rest of us in incorporating sleep, meditation, etc. in their practice because it makes them better on the field and in the court.
You're absolutely right. One of the questions we got asked is, money and power have some obvious quantitative ways of looking at them and seeing if you're successful. Do you have more money? Do you have more power? And those are relatively quantitative, this questioner asks. And she says, how do you quantitate well-being, wisdom, wonder, and appreciation?
Well, let's start with well-being. I think that is very easily measurable, because we look at what is the price we're paying in terms of our health, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's collapses like mine, many of which are much worse, you know, leading to blood clots like it happened to Hillary Clinton when she collapsed from exhaustion, strokes, you know, a lot of diseases, which of course dramatically affect the quality of our lives. And in corporations now, when they introduce wellness practices and stress reduction practices, they often measure them. Aetna, for example, introduced meditation, yoga, etc. And then Mark Bertolini, CEO, brought in Duke University to measure the impact. And they found a 69-minute a week improvement in productivity and a 7% reduction in healthcare costs. So all these things are measurable. And the same goes with wisdom, because all of us can look back and see times when we're burnt out and sleep deprived when we made bad decisions. I quote Bill Clinton in my book, who said that the most important mistakes I made when I was tired. He did not specify what mistakes, but we can all identify in one way or another.
Now, one of the things you talk about in wisdom is growing up in Athens. And some of the things have changed. So when I talk to students, many of them don't know about the, quote, the classics anymore. And they don't know about many of the steps in well-being anymore. How do we get those back into the schools? Have you thought about
That is such a great question. I was very blessed to have a mother who was self-taught but steeped in the classics. And she kind of brought up my sister and me in seeing them as part of our life, not as theoretical understanding. And she would always tell us, you know, what Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Because the more we understand ourselves, the more we know what we value, the richer, in a profound sense, our lives would be. And I feel that at the Huffington Post, for example, we have multiple sections where people can have this conversation and express what works for them and what they what can help them to see their life in that fuller sense.
Now, the other thing that I've noted in schools, that is the follow-up obvious question, is the if you look at those things that have been eliminated, physical activity teachers, music teachers, home economics teachers who taught cooking, a lot of the things that are necessary for well-being have been eliminated from the public schools in order to do the what I would call the harder subjects longer, or maybe more on the harder subjects. How do we get back to, and I just think it's so important, should we just, I mean, there are so many single moms that can't possibly have the time to do this with their children and maybe haven't learned themselves, that I think it's so important to have it in schools. How do we make the point with?
I completely agree, and that's why I feel this is a very short-sighted decision. And anything
when we
can
come
do
back,
Arianna,
I'm going to I'm going to have to interrupt because we've got a hard break. When we come back, we're going to finish the answer to that. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
You want to focus, You need to focus. You need focus, nutritional energy from Action Energy. Focus makes work easy because it helps you stay on topic and focus your mind and energy to get the job done right. With its special blend of green tea, coffee beans, ginseng, caffeine, B12, and other key vitamins and minerals, this energy shot is just what's needed to keep you focused, stay alert and sharp, and make work easy. Now that I like. Check out the complete line of Action Energy Nutritional Energy Shots available at selected retail stores. Or go to actionenergyae.com and check out Focus. Go to actionenergyae.com for more information. Action Energy is the proud sponsor of Drs. Oz and Royson articles and health tips on Radio MD.
Every 39 seconds, an adult dies from a heart attack, stroke, or related disease. These conditions claim the lives of more than 800,000 adults each year and are largely preventable. Two leading risks for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure and high cholesterol, serious conditions that often have no symptoms. 68 million adults have high blood pressure and 71 million have high cholesterol. Here's what you can do to reduce your risk. Take your prescription medications to control blood pressure or cholesterol. Eat a healthy diet that's low in salt, fat, and cholesterol, and full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Don't smoke. If you do, quit now. While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next. Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.